Well, thank you for those prayers, Pastor Martha, and I know that I speak for Courtney as well, and for our girls, it's really good to be back home. We were away this last week. Courtney and I, our 10th anniversary is coming up, and so we wanted to do something very special. And so we saved up for a while, and it's a little embarrassing to admit this because it's such a luxurious thing to do, but we went on a cruise. Has anybody ever been on a cruise here? Several of you. If you've ever been on one, it's an interesting experience. You are pampered, and you know, everything is brought to you on a silver platter, and you really are treated like royalty. But to be honest, after a few days of this, I got really uncomfortable. And I want to tell you why. It's on a cruise ship, there are the cruisers, the people who've paid to be on the ship, and they're like the kings and queens, and they get everything they want. But then there are the workers that are, none of them are American. They're all these foreign, immigrant, very poor servants. They're mostly from Southeast Asia or from Eastern European countries that are very poor. And they come and they work on the ships for months on end, and they don't even get to go home to see their families. And we talked before with a young mother who she'd not seen her little children who were toddlers for 9 months. And after a while, I mean, of course it's fun and you're enjoying your vacation, but this thought occurred to me, like, I know where Jesus would be if he were on this cruise boat. He'd be with those workers. He'd be among the poor. And, we had fun on our vacation, don't get me wrong, but I was kind of almost relieved to get off that boat and to stop having to feel like, and, you know, and what really annoyed me is the rich white folk who are on the boat. We're all complaining and ordering these people around. And, you know, I mean, I just wanted to scream. You know, how spoiled can you be? It reminded me, this cruise boat is kind of a microcosm of the way our world still is. You've got the haves and the have-nots, and there's this division, and there's the insiders, and there's the outsiders, and we draw these lines between people, and there are those who are able to have everything that they want, and life comes to them, and they're fed on a silver spoon, and then there are those that have to scrape by and work and work and work, and they don't even have a place to lay their head, and they don't even get to see their families. It's not fair, but that's the world we live in. My sermon this morning is kind of about the lines that we draw between ourselves as human beings and what the Bible has to say about those lines that are drawn. I want us to read from Acts chapter 10, and you can start to turn there in your scriptures if you want to Acts chapter 10. It's on your pew Bible. It starts in your pew Bible on page 1338. We're going to read from page 1339. I would love to be able to read the whole chapter, but it's rather long, and so what I've decided to do instead is to kind of summarize what's going on in Acts chapter 10. I had a teacher once who said, Acts chapter 10 is the most radical chapter in the entire Bible, and it's the chapter of the Bible that the church has still failed to understand. And that really gripped me, and ever since I've had this deep fascination with this chapter of the Bible, Acts chapter 10, and I've come to believe it's actually central to the New Testament, to understanding the rest of the New Testament. So let me just summarize what happens in Acts chapter 10, and then we're going to read from some of the verses at the end of the chapter. Acts chapter 10 begins with the story of a man named Cornelius, who is a Roman, he is a Gentile, and he is a soldier. Now, automatically, those are things that are negative. Okay, if you're reading the book of Acts. If you're a good Jewish Christian, A, you don't like Romans. B, you don't like rich people, and he was rich. And C, you don't like soldiers. D, you don't like Gentiles. So he's got a lot of things stacked up against him. And yet, right from the very beginning of this chapter, we find something rather surprising that Luke says. He says, and I just want to read verse 1, there was a man in Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion in the Italian company. He and his whole household were pious, Gentile God worshippers. He gave generously to those in need among the Jewish people and prayed to God constantly. Now that right there has alarm bells going off in a Jewish reader. What do you mean he's pious? He's a Gentile, okay? And so there's, Luke is already beginning to challenge things, but here Cornelius, he is praying every day to God, and God reveals to him that a messenger is going to come and show him the true God. Meanwhile, it's really cool how Luke writes it. Meanwhile, back in another city, Peter and his disciples are staying in a house by the sea, and Peter goes up in the middle of the day during lunchtime. He's really hungry, and he has this vision. And you know this vision if you read it before. Down out of the sky come all of these different kinds of animals that are good to eat, but they're mixed in with animals that Jews considered unclean and defiling. You remember, don't you, that in the Old Testament, God commanded the Jews, you can eat these kind of animals, but you can't eat these. For example, Jews don't eat pork. But it goes beyond that. There's a whole long list of things they can't eat. So this vision has a bunch of different animals with the clean and the unclean mixed in. And the voice from heaven says to Peter, take and eat these. And Peter, being a good Jew and knowing the laws, says, oh God, I would never touch such stuff. You know me. I'm pious. I'm a good Jew. I wouldn't do that. God says, don't call something unclean that I have made clean. That's the end of the vision. Peter doesn't understand it, but that's the vision. In the meantime, at that very moment, right after the vision, there's a knock at the front door. Peter goes downstairs, and these messengers from the house of Cornelius come, and they say, we need you to come to this house. And we need you to speak to Cornelius because God's appeared to him in a dream. And so he travels and they go to the home of Cornelius and he starts to talk. And what's funny is when Peter enters into Cornelius' house, Cornelius and all of his servants bow down to worship him. And Peter says, whoa, I'm just a man. I am not a god. Stand up. Don't do that. So they do. And then Peter starts to preach to them, and he preaches a sermon about Jesus and about who Jesus is. And he's doing kind of a radical thing because actually the Jews aren't even supposed to go into the house of a Gentile. He's breaking the law just by going into their house. But he goes in because he thinks these people need to hear about Jesus. And then something amazing happens, and that's where I want to start our reading. It's at verse 44, and I want to read the rest of the story. As Paul Harvey would say, verse 44 in chapter 10. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell on everyone who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter, in other words, the Jews who had come with Peter, were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. They heard them speaking in other languages and praising God. Peter asked, these people have received the Holy Spirit, just as we have. Surely no one can stop them from being baptized with water, can they? He directed that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited Peter to stay for several days. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I've explained to you this sharp division between, if I could just teach for a moment. Jews hated Gentiles, and Gentiles hated Jews. That was the world that they lived in. You see, the Jews, they had the law from God. They were the special chosen people of God. They ate all the right things. They didn't eat all the wrong things. And you know how sometimes when two different people groups can't get along, rumors start to spread about the other people? You know, the first thing that a country does when it wants to go to war with another people is it makes them all into demons instead of humans. You start talking about them as its. rather than as people. This had grown up between the Jews and the Gentiles. So the Jews had all these theories about the Gentiles. These are disgusting people. They're pagan people. You know what they do? They abort their own kids, or they even kill their babies, and then they bury them underneath their houses. How could we ever go into a Gentile house? Because how disgusting is that, to have a dead baby buried under your house, your own flesh and blood? Well, there may have been a tiny grain of truth to that. Some Gentile may have done that somewhere. But Jews just, you know how it gets. It's exploded. They're all like that. They're pigs. We won't have anything to do with them. God says he wants us to be separate from them, and that's because they are not loved by God, and we are loved by God. And so there's this incredible separation between Jew and Gentile. And in fact, in many ways, you could say much of the Jewish religion was simply forming the boundary between the Jews and the non-Jews. That's what Gentile means, non-Jews. The Gentiles, on the other hand, can't stand the Jews because they're all high and mighty and claim they've got special access to God, and you know, they judge us because we like to eat bacon for breakfast, you know. And so they don't like the Jews because they feel judged whenever they're around the Jews. So there's all this animosity between the two people groups. And you know what's interesting? Isn't that just still so the way the world works? I mean, we could still see this today. I mean, look for just a moment at where our country is in terms of politics. Just as an example, there was a day when we were able to sit down and actually have reasonable, polite conversation between two different people who disagreed. I'm starting to think that day has passed us. You turn on the television, it's a bit ridiculous how, and it doesn't matter to me, I don't know what your politics are, and you don't need to know what my politics are, and I don't even care. But whether you're liberal or conservative or Republican or Democrat, you've got to notice how angry and ugly things have gotten in our country between the two groups. I mean, if the left thinks of the right as a bunch of gun-toting, violence-loving, homosexual-hating, ultra-rich, robber-baron fascists. Meanwhile, the right thinks of the left as a bunch of mushy-minded, hippie, un-American, big government, tax and spend socialists. Have you heard these? I mean, you've heard these before, right? That's the way it is. And you know what? It makes for great television ratings, because everybody loves to see Jerry Springer done on Fox News or on MSNBC. But could we just sit down and talk things out and respect one another and get to the issues instead of doing all this name-calling? But you see, that's just an illustration of human nature. We like to divide between ourselves. We like to say, those over there, those ugly people, those people, they just don't get it. They don't understand. And so we get this prejudice in our mind towards them, and we even spread rumors and lies about them, and pretty soon we're calling them demons instead of people. And you don't have to look at politics for this. You can look at religion. You can look at the way Christians and Muslims have been. You can look at Protestants and Catholics. You can look at black and white. You could look at all different. You could look at Colts fans versus Patriots fans. We can find any way possible to divide ourselves between one another and to start to hate the other, the one who's different, the one who's foreign. So you get the picture. In the middle of all of this, Peter has this weird vision, mixed of the clean and the unclean animals, the creepy crawly things that they're never supposed to touch, because even touching them will make them dirty, are in this, the centipedes and the snakes. These are filthy in Peter's mind. And Peter says, oh God, you know me, I'm a good Jew, I would never touch such a thing. And God says, don't you dare call something unclean that I have made clean. You know what? God wasn't talking about food. He was talking about people. And this is perfectly clear from Acts chapter 10. Because Luke, the way he writes it, he folds these stories in between one another. You start with Cornelius, this Gentile, who's supposedly a pig and filthy. Then you tell this story about a vision. Don't call anything unclean that I've made clean. Then you go back to Cornelius. What is Luke saying?
this vision of Peter's is about people. And God loves all people. Wow. For the Jew, that was... I know we say that all the time in the church, and we should. But for a Jew, that was ridiculous. What do you mean, all people? We're the chosen people, the children of Abraham. We have the law. We are that special, set-apart people. What do you mean, all people? What do you mean, everyone's clean? That doesn't make any sense.
And so Peter, in verse 34 and 35, as he's preaching a sermon, it's like he realizes as he's preaching. And he says in verse 34, let me see if I can find it in my scripture real quick. He says in verse 34, I really am learning that God doesn't show partiality to one group of people over another. Yes. It's like it's dawning on him. Yes. Rather, in every nation, whoever worships him and does what is right is acceptable to him. Even Romans, even soldiers, even Gentile pigs, what they used to call Gentile pigs, God loves them too. And the Jew, and Peter and his fellow Jewish disciples must have had this revelation, and they must have been saying, this is shaking everything we ever believed. But hey, if these people are acceptable to God, I suppose they ought to be acceptable to us. So today, are we willing to recognize God in the face of the people that we've written off? Do you really believe that God is at work and God is sending his Spirit among all people? Do you really believe that God is at work in a brothel among prostitutes? Do you really believe that God is present among crackheads in their crack houses? Do we really believe that God is at work among Muslims and Buddhists and Hindus? Can we find God at work in the hearts of homosexuals and transvestites? Church, can we find God there? Or are we so committed to the boundaries we've created? No. No, it doesn't go that far. God loves the church. God loves us. But no, you got Christians out there with signs saying God hates that. God have mercy. They have missed the point of the gospel. God loves everyone. God have mercy on people who say such things. That's not the Bible. Read Acts 10. Don't call unclean what I have made clean. And so these Jews, they see this happen to the Gentiles, and they're like, that's what happened to us in Acts chapter 2. We were, on Pentecost, we started speaking the other language. They got the Holy Spirit just like we got the Holy Spirit. What is this? God is putting his stamp of approval on them. Well, Peter says, can anybody stop us from baptizing them as well? So let's have a baptism. And they baptize them. And you know what baptism is? Baptism is when we say we are a new community. You are initiated into a family that no longer divides. You, as Paul says, there is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for all are one in Christ Jesus. That's baptism. You are initiated into a new family. A family, that is not the way the world works. The way the world works is like my cruise ship. Okay? There are the haves and the have-nots. There are the insiders and the outsiders. The way the church works is that we are all one in Christ Jesus. I've read this before, but it's been a long time, about 3.5 years. It's a song that I heard in high school. My brother knows it. And my sister, it's called Breathe Deep by the Lost Dogs, and I'd be shocked if anybody ever heard of that band. But I love the words of this song simply because it talks of the universal love of God for all people. And it's fun to read, so I'm just going to read it, because it's fun. You're going to understand why. Politicians, morticians, Philistines, homophobes, Skinheads, deadheads, tax evaders, street kids. Alcoholics, workaholics, wise guys, dimwits. Blue collars, white collars, warmongers, peaceniks. Suicidals, rock idols, shut-ins, dropouts, friendless, homeless, penniless, and depressed. Presidents, residents, foreigners and aliens, dissidents, feminists, xenophobes and chauvinists, evolutionists, creationists, perverts, slumlords, deadbeats, athletes, Protestants and Catholics, housewives, neophytes, pro-choice, pro-life, misogynists, monogamous, philanthropists and blacks and whites. Police, obese, lawyers and government, sex offenders, tax collectors, war vets, rejects, atheists, scientists, racists, sadists, photographers, biographers, artists, pornographers, gays and lesbians, demagogues and thespians, the disabled, preachers, doctors and teachers, meat eaters, wife beaters, I'm going to start rapping here soon, judges and juries, long hair, no hair, everybody, everywhere, breathe deep the breath of God. I think that about covers it. Breathe deep. Breath of God. You're all loved. If I believe anything about our faith, it is this. God loves everyone. So my favorite bumper sticker I've ever seen on the back of a car just says, very simple but very radical, God bless everyone, no exceptions. I've seen a lot of God bless Americans, God bless troops, God bless, you know, different groups. God bless everyone, no exceptions. The church, this baptized family that we're a part of, this all-inclusive community. I'm not saying it's just a church where everything goes. I'm not saying that every behavior is acceptable. Okay, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that every religion is equal. I'm not saying any of that. I mean, look, if that were true, why would Peter even need to go to Cornelius' house?
That's right.
Right? Peter has to go there because he wants to share Jesus with him.
Right.
Because Jesus is the one true God. And that's what we believe. He is the Lord of all. So, in our culture today, and I'm not trying to be too long, but we value tolerance. You live your life, I'll live mine. You know, I'll leave you alone, you leave me alone. I won't judge your lifestyle, you don't judge my lifestyle. What's interesting is you don't find a lot of that in the Scripture, actually. Instead, you find a lot of God loves you the way you are, but He wants to make you into Himself. He wants to make you like Himself. He loves you the way you are, but He doesn't want to keep you there. And how many of us honestly want to be kept where we are? I know I don't. So whether they were Jews or Gentiles, it was humility was the starting place of salvation. Think about how humility takes a role in this story. For the Jews, it's, wow, we thought we were special. And we're not. We thought we were the unique people of God, and it turns out we're not as special as we thought we are, because God loves everybody. So that's humiliation. For the Gentile, they're humiliated too, because they're like, whoa, we've been worshiping the wrong gods the whole time. We've been building statues to Roman gods, and we've been proclaiming, you know, calling on Artemis and all of these. God, we've been wrong. There's only one God, and it's the God of the Jews. So you see, on both sides, it takes humility. It takes saying we're wrong. I love in The Great Divorce, C.S. Lewis says, when you get to heaven, the first thing that you're going to say is, whoa, I was wrong about a lot.
Amen.
So the message today, friends, is simply this. The world is like the cruise ship. It likes to draw dividing lines. The church ought to be, though sometimes it's like the world, ought to be the all-inclusive place of universal love that draws no lines between anyone. Because God doesn't do it. And so we shouldn't either.
Now, in closing today, rather than us singing a hymn like we often do, I have a song I've actually been wanting to share for quite a while on video screen. Now, I'm going to give this a little preface. It's a little bit edgy, and it's a little bit... You might find it funny, you might find it thought-provoking. To me, I think of my daughters dancing crazily to it, and so it just makes me happy. But it's about the universal love of God, and it's got a little prophetic voice to it. But I want to close our service today by watching this and letting you just soak this in, even if it's a little bit silly or funny. Soak it in, because God loves everybody. Go ahead, Wendell.